Shalom aleichem, Rabosei. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We are on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, and we are by the two dots that are not the last line, but about seven or eight lines up. We are at Gufa. Gufa Amar Rav. Rav said, "Ein monin chamin v'shemen me'agavi makav Shabbos." Rav said that we should not refrain from putting hot water and oil on a wound on Shabbos, meaning that is not included in the Isser Durabanan of Refuah. Again, Chazal answered many types of Refuah because it may come to Tochin, which is grinding, which is how they used to make medicine. They used to take spices and whatnot and grind them up into medicines. That obviously is not Malacha on Shabbos. We want to avoid that. So Chazal answered many types of Refuah. This, says Rav, is not one of them. So Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no sein chutz lamaka. You can put that stuff, oil and water, outside of the wound. V'shoh seis v'yorei lamaka, and it can trickle down and then end up going on the wound. But according to Shmuel, you're not allowed to put it directly on the wound, again, because it's an issue of refuah. Meisve, I'll ask you a question, 1 second. Ein nos neshem v'chamen al gabi moch litein al gabi maka b'shabes. Right, you're not allowed to put oil and water on top of a moch. Moch is a piece of cloth. To be used as a bandage, you're not allowed to put oil and water on that. So apparently, you see that this is a problem here. You're not allowed to do it mishum refuah. So that's against Rav. Because Gemara says no, hasam mishum schita. That is an issue because of schita, because you may come to wring out and squeeze out the liquid out of the piece of cloth. So that's why that's a problem. But in general, putting it straight on the maka, according to Rav, would be mutter. Tashma, I'll bring a proof against Rav. You can't even put oil and water, says the Braisa, on a bandage that is on a wound already, right before you were prepping the bandage, and now the bandage is on the wound, and you can't dress it with water or oil, hot water or oil. So that seems to be again against Rav. So the Gemara says, no, man, it's because you have a bandage involved in the schita issues. Finally, we prove Shmuel Shita. We have a brisa that says like Shmuel, "Ein nosin chamin v'shemen agabi amaka b'shabes, aval nosin chutz lamaka v'shoses v'yari lamaka." Okay, that brisa is exactly what Shmuel has said before, that you have to put it on the arm or whatever and have it trickle down towards the wound. Tanur Rabbanu learned in a brisa, "Nosin agabi amaka moch yavish." You're allowed to put on a wound a dry moch piece of cloth. Uspug yavesh, or a dry sponge, avalo gemi yavesh, velo ketitin yavesh, but not any types of gemi, is like reeds, or ketitin, or rags. So you're not allowed to do that. Again, those are going to help with the refuah. So the Gemara says, 1 second, kashi ketitin and ketitin, right? A moch is made out of ketitin, made out of cloth. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha habechadati habeatiki." No, the when it's old, so then that is mutter. But the new ones, the chadati, Rashi says, "Shlo hayagavi makame olam maser." They're going to help with refuah, and therefore the new ones are aser. Namar abayish mamina haniktitin maser. Apparently, you see that new cloth of bandage is helpful with the healing process. Okay, we had said before. In our Mishnah, and we talked about different things that are Machal Shabbos. We said not all milos, not all brisim are Docha Shabbos. So one of the things that are not Docha Shabbos is, it was actually a discussion in the Mishnah, but a Safik and an Androgynous. We said a Safik is a baby that's born, a Safik between 8 months and 9 months, according to Rashi. And again, Chazal, as we're going to say today, Chazal considered a baby born in the 8th month to be a nefel, to be a baby that is not going to survive. So therefore, we're not going to be Docha Shabbos for that type of baby. An androgynous is someone who had both male and female, simonim. Male and female simonim. Genitalia, thank you. Tanu Rabbanan. So we learned in a brisa. So orlos. I mean, how do you know that those two things are not Docha Shabbos? At least according to the Tanakhama. Again, Rabbi Yehuda had said that an androgynous you would be Docha Shabbos. So Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in a brisa. Orlos. So the pasuk says you should do a mila on his orla. So orlos. So vade Docha Shabbos. Below sofik Docha Shabbos. You learn that only a vade is Docha Shabbos, not a sofik. Or also vade Docha Shabbos. Below androgynous Docha is a Shabbos. Right? Not the mila of an androgynous. Rav Yehuda over androgynous Docha is a Shabbos. Onesh kares. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees that it actually is Docha Shabbos, and if an androgynous does not get a mila, so he gets kares just like anybody else who does not have a mila. Or also vade Docha Shabbos, v'lo nola ben Hashmoshos Docha Shabbos. So too, a kid baby born ben Hashmoshos on Erev Shabbos, so we're not sure whether Shabbos is actually the day that he was born. We're not sure what day he's actually going to need to have a mila. So therefore it's a suffix, so that's a different type of suffix, and that also is not Docha as a Shabbos according to this Braiso. Olaso vaday Docha as a Shabbos v'lo nolad kishu mol Docha as a Shabbos. So maybe that's already born with the circumcision also. Is a tavus dambris is not Docha Shabbos. Shebeshame omen tzorech adif mimenu dambris v'vizil omen ain't tzorech. As we have a machlokas beshama beisilva, whether you need to be, do a toughest dambris, you need to make the aver bleed a little bit. If a baby is born mahul, beshama says yes, and beisilva says no. Amar Rishim and Elazar lo nechlu beshama beisilva al nolad kishu mahul shetzarich latif menu dambris. Beshama beisilva are not arguing, explains Rabbi Rishim and Elazar. We're going to see that this is a subject of dispute. Exactly what beshama and beisilva are arguing about. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that they do not argue in a case where a baby is born mahul. They agree that a baby who is born mahul needs hatafas dam bris, that you have to make the aver bleed a little bit. Because this is also going to be a discussion in terms of how you interpret this, but because literally means that there's an orla kavusha. Kavush usually means like pickled, but it means that it was submerged. Maybe the foreskin was submerged under the skin. So you need to do some sort of hatafas dam bris. So what is the machlokas beisham beisilva? Al ger shenis gayer kshu mahul. That when a ger converts and he's already had a circumcision, right? It's a custom, but it is common that the baby gets circumcised in the hospital, right? A goyish baby could have a circumcision. So like, what's that? The machlokas beisham omrim tzorech latif mimenu dam bris. Ubeisilva omrim ein tzorech lahatif mimenu dam bris. Mar says, "V'lo sofek docha as a Shabbos lo suyeh mai." When we say that the sofek is not docha Shabbos, what is that including? That's la suyeh ha'datan rabbana. In this case, ben shiva mechal ben alav is a Shabbos. If a baby born in the seventh month is mechal Shabbos, right? For the bris, right? Ben shmona ain mechal ben alav is a Shabbos. So again, we said before that a baby who's born in the eighth month is considered, at least in the times of the Gemara, as a Nefel. Tosus already on the bottom. Tosus du Ramas Chol Ben Shmona says that this is not Shayach nowadays, doesn't apply. Right, Tosus says already in his time, Achsha Mutra Lataldo Kol Tinoko, Shein Manu Bikian, we're not a Bucky, we don't know, Sofek Nefel, Menachas Shalom, all babies are Mitzashem going to live, and there's no Chazaka whatsoever according to Tosus. This is not Shayach, but in the times of the Gemara, so they considered an 8-month-old baby to be Rachman al-Tzlan, a baby that was not going to live. So, Ben Shiva is Yom Mechala of the Shabbos, Ben Shmona Ein Mechala of the Shabbos, and Sofik Ben Zayin, and Sofik Ben Ches, if a baby was born, and you're not sure if it was 7th or 8th month, so then Ein Mechala of the Shabbos, that's what we're talking about over here. Lo Dochas, Sofik, Lo Dochas the Shabbos, that's if this baby is a Sofik 7th or 8th month. Ben Shmona, if a baby was born in the 8th month, right? Even more so, a baby that's born in the 8th month is, according to the Gemara, a nefel, and it's like a stone, and it's muktzah. But his mother is allowed to nurse him, kind of lean over and drop milk into his mouth and let him nurse. As Rashi says, the sakana is not for the baby, but it's for the woman, because a woman who does not nurse, and when she has milk in her breasts, so that's going to be very, very dangerous to her. Itmar, Rav Amar Halach Tanakama, Ushmuel Amar Halach, Karabi Shimon Ben Elazar. Right, the Rav said the Halach was like the Tanakama, that said that the machlokas between Beis Hill and Beis Shammai is about a ger. That's the second, that's for Shimon Elazar. Shimon Elazar says it's about a ger, the Tanakama holds that it's about a baby that was born mahul. Rabbi Shammai says you have to do the atafa, and Rabbi Beis Hillel says you don't, and same thing by the ger. That's what we quoted. And so, sorry, just to go back, right, Itmar, Rav Amar Halach Ketanakama, Shmuel Amar Halach, Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. Rav Adabar Ava, Isyalid Lei Hahu Yanuka, Kishu Mahol. Right, Rav Adabar Ava, very sad story, as we'll see in a second. He had a baby that was born Mahol, And Ahadre Atzlesar Maholai, he went after, he had to find 13 moels. He tried to find 13 moels to do the bris on Shabbos, and he didn't find anybody. No one was willing to do the bris on Shabbos, or at least the toughest down bris, whatever it was. So I had to shove you until he did it himself, and he made the baby a krus shuvcha, rachman atzlan. He injured the baby's aver so that he was no longer able to have kids. You know, he cut too much, rachman atzlan. And he said, Tisili, I deserve this terrible tragedy, to Avri Adirav, that I violated Rav's Shita. Amar Lev Nachman, but the Shmuel Omar, Avar, you also violated Shmuel's. Right? Imad Amar Shmuel Bechol. Right? Shmuel's whole discussion between Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel, that's during the weekday, where you have to do Shatavis Dam Bris. But Beit Shabbos Miyamar, but nobody says that you should be Mechal Shabbos for this. And who suffered Vaday or Lakavushi? Sorry, and what was Ravada Barava thinking? Right, what was, why in the world would he do Mila and Shabbos, right, with Tavist Abris, etc.? Because he felt that when, again, what we mentioned before, that Rishon ben Elazar is trying to explain Beisham Beis Hillel's Machlokes, right, the question is, Mipnesha or Lakavushi, because we said the foreskin is submerged, so is that definite or maybe? So Ravada Barava held that it's definitely there's some sort of foreskin that's submerged on the stomach. Now you can understand why he ended up cutting too much, because he was looking, or he misjudged, or whatever it was. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, you know, terrible idea to do a mila for you by yourself. So he was, I guess, he thought there was a vaday orla kvusha, vaday, a definite submerged foreskin, and Rachman Atzlan, that's how he ended up injuring his own kid. Ditmar Rabba, as Rabba says, again, as we explained, Ditmar, as we're about to say right now, that this machlokas in terms of what Rishon ben Elazar meant when he said that there's a submerged foreskin. Rabba Amar Chashinan Shema Orla Kvushai. Rabba says there's a suffix whether there's an Orla Kvusha, and therefore you have a machlokas, whether you need to do a tafis dambris. And Rav Yosef Amar Havadai Orla Kvushai. Rav Yosef said it's for sure that there's some sort of submerged foreskin, and therefore that's why Ravada Barava did the bris on Shabbos. Amar Rav Yosef, no, I mean, Allah, how do I know, Rav Yosef says, that there's for sure a submerged orla over there? So, the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Kapar, Omer, Lo Nechlu Beisham Beisheil, Amila Kshu Mol, Shetzarech Lutafimen Dam Bris, and there's no machlokas between Beisham Beisheil, again, Rabbi Eliezer, Kapar, agrees with the Shem Ben Elazar. It says there's no machlokas about Nola and Mahul, that everybody agrees. Sorry, one second, last place, because I was just referencing up top. Right, Alman Nechleku, what's the machlokas? Beisham and Beiselel, Lechal Lov is a Shabbos. That the machlokas is whether you should be Mechal Shabbos. Beisham and Mechalim is a Shabbos, or Beiselel, Lov and Mechalim is a Shabbos. So apparently, what do you see from that shita? Lav michal tanakama sover michal love is a Shabbos. Apparently, right, since we didn't quote him, but when Rabbi Elazar Kapar comes and says the machlokas is whether you have to be michal Shabbos, what does the tanakama hold? That's not here, but mistama, what was he going on? What was he commenting on? Mistama, the tanakama was holding that everybody holds that you should be michal Shabbos. So apparently, you see that there's definitely an orla kavusha. I says, what are you talking about? Dilma Tanakama, Divrei Kol Eimachal Lenakama. Maybe Tanakama holds that everybody holds that you're not Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer Kapar came to say, no, it's Mechal Beisham Beis Hillel. It's not that everyone's Mechal Shabbos, holds that you're not Mechal Shabbos. So I says, no, what are you talking about? If the Tanakama held that everybody says you're not Mechal Shabbos, and Rabbi Eliezer Kapar came and said it's actually a Machlokas, who says you are Mechal Shabbos? Beishamah. So that means that Rabbi Eliezer Kapar is coming to explain to us Shitas Beis Shammai. And we don't hold like Beis Shammai. Why would he come to explain that? In Cain, Rabbi Eliezer Kapar, Tamid Beis Shammai also the Lashmina. And why would he come and explain to us Shitas Beis Shammai? That doesn't make sense. And if everybody agrees that you're not Mechal Shabbos, according to Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer Kapar says, oh, no, this is Machlokas. Beis Shammai says you are Mechal Shabbos. Well, Shkoyach, we don't hold like Beis Shammai. So what's the point? Gemara says, Dilma Harikamer. No, maybe this is what it meant to say. Lo Nechlu Beisham Beis Hillel Badover Zat. Meaning, maybe the whole point of Elazar Kapar was coming to say that no, there's no machlokas by a Tavis Dam Bris for someone who's Nolan Mo. There's no machlokas over there. And therefore, you can't really prove one way or another whether there's a definite foreskin or not. Therefore, there's no proof for Rav Yosef in terms of what Rav Shimon Elazar meant by the foreskin thing, whether it's definite or not. All right, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, "Kol she'imo tmeya leida nimo l'shmona, v'kol she'ein imo tmeya leida ein nimo l'shmona." We know that the beginning of Parshas Tazria tells us that if a woman gives birth, so she is tmeya. That's not always true. That's not always true. Rashi gives a couple of examples over here. One of them is what's becoming more and more common nowadays, a C-section. And the second case Rashi brings here is that a goy who converts after she gives birth, and then obviously the baby converts as well, so she's not become tummy. Tumma is a uniquely Jewish thing. So if she converts after she gave birth, so there's nothing that has been metame her while she is Jewish. So she is not tame, and therefore the baby, right, lechora, would be circumcised right away. Right? Can you imagine, right? If you convert a baby on the first day after its birth, Maisa gets a mila right away. Okay, fascinating. So the Rav Asi says that the tuma of the woman giving birth and the mila on the eighth day go hand in hand. As the pasuk says, Shemar Isha ki zazriya v'yaldo zachar v'tama sheva samim. Then it says, V'yom ha-shmini yimol b'sar olasos. You see that the pasuk already links the two things. So that's Rav Asi, that's a requirement. Amalei Abaye, doros harishonim yochichu. What are you talking about? The original generations, back in the day, the OG Mila people, Avram and everybody else. Right? There's no tuma then. Rashi says, ready, lo nagu tuma, but they had a mitzvah of Mila. Right? You see that they're not hand in hand. Rashi ain't imo tumea leidav and imo l'shmona. Yitzchak got a bris on the eighth day. So there was no concept of tuma back then. So why would Yitzchak have gotten a bris on the eighth day if the two goes hand in hand? So Amalei, pretty well known phrase, nit na Torah v'nischad shalach. The second the Torah was given, so that's the Torah, the halacha was almost b'mechadish. There was new halachos. Chazal sometimes appropriate this phrase to explain several phenomena that we see in Bereishis. One of them, if I'm not mistaken, is by how Yaakov could marry two wives. There's a lot of explanations for that, but all right. Either way, you're correct that back in the day that's how it worked, but after the Torah was given, so then right, the Torah itself connects tumah of the mother to the eighth day for the bris. So that's how we hold nowadays. So when it says, is it really true that we connect these two things, the tumah of the mother and the bris on the eighth day, v'itmar, we have said, yotzi dofen, and mishir shlishtei arlos, if you have someone who's born with a C-section, or for whatever reason, if the baby has two foreskins, right, one on top of the other, Rav Huna v'Rav Chia barav, chad amar mechalan alav as a Shabbos, v'chad amar ein mechalan alav as a Shabbos. Right, the machokes whether you're mechal Shabbos for this bris and lo pligi el lechal love is a Shabbos. And you see that they don't argue when to give the bris; they just argue whether you're mechal Shabbos for it. But lemaisa, there's no argument. Obviously, you give it on the eighth day if it falls out on Tuesday. So Gemara says, actually, haba talia, that the whole concept of doing the mila on Shabbos is shayach to the mila on the eighth day, right? Again, mila is only bismana, is only mechal Shabbos. So if you tell me that you're mechal Shabbos, so it must be, right, that you do the mila right, on the eighth day. But if you're not mechal Shabbos, so apparently you don't. So that's actually the machlokas. Right? That's a machlokas between the two of them. So and the Gemara says in the in Ein Achinami Kitanai, it's actually machlokas tanai. Right, as we see, I lost the place for a second. Right, yesh yilid bayis shenimo leechad, yesh yilid bayis shenimo leshlosha. I'll explain this in a second. Yesh miknas kasef shenimo leechad, yesh miknas kasef shenimo leshmona. There are two types of ways that a person can acquire a Canaanite slave, Revid Canaani. One is miknas kasef, the simplest way is if you buy him. So one of the dinim, if you're not familiar, is that if a person buys an Evi Kanani, that person is his forever. But an Evi Kanani has the same halachos. Maisa is mechuyev mitzvos like a woman. Not all mitzvos, but some many mitzvos like a woman, and he gets a mila. That obviously is not related to women, but he gets a bris mila. You have to be moel, moel? I don't know what the verb is. Whatever it is, you have to give a bris mila to an Eved Kenani. So that's one way of acquiring him through money, through buying him. There's something else called the Yelid Bias, where a Eved Kenani, or really a Shivcha Kenanis, is given to an Eved Ivri, and their child is an Eved Kenani. So that's called Yelid Bias, born in the house. So either way, there are two types of Eved Kenanis. One, in one scenario, he's going to be born, he's going to be mohel on the first day, he's going to have a mila on the first day, and in one scenario, he's going to have a mila on the eighth day. Right? Both in the case of Miknas Kesef, where he's bought, and both in the case of Yelid Bias. Okay, so let's just read that again. Yesh Yelid Bias Shinimol Le'echad, Yesh Yelid Bias Shinimol Le'shmona. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shinimol Le'echad, V'yesh Miknas Kesef Shinimol Le'shmona. So then Gemara explains, Yesh Miknas Kesef Shinimol Le'echad. How do you have a case where you bought a slave and it's circumcised on the first day? So Yesh Miknas Kesef Shinimol Le'shmona. And similarly, if you bought a slave, it gets a meal on the eighth day. Ketzad, how does that work? Let's say Lokach Shivcha Mu'beres. Let's say you bought a pregnant Shivcha Knanis, V'achar Kach Yolda, and she gave birth. So Zeo Miknas Kesef, that's a case where you buy a slave Hanim Ol Shmona, that gets a bris on the eighth day. Look at Shivcha Uvlada Ima. Let's say you bought a Shivcha and she already had a kid, right, 1 day's old. Zu he Miknas Kesef Shanim Ol Echad. You give him a bris mila right away. And you also have a case where an Eved Kenani that's born in your house gets a meal on the eighth day. Ketzad, how is that? Lokach shivcha v'nis abra. If again, if you bought a shivcha kenanis and she became pregnant through with an Eved Ivri, so v'nis abra etzlo, and she became pregnant in the owner's house. V'yolda, and she gave birth. Zeo yilid bayis hanimol l'shmona. That's how you have a Yelid Bias that has the Mila on the eighth day. Rav Chama Amar, Rav Chama says, Yolda v'achakach hitzvila, let's say she gave birth, and then she went to the mikvah, so that Zeo Yelid Bias Shemimol Le'echa. That's how you can have someone who is born in your house that gets a Mila on the first day. Right? Let's say hitzvila v'achakach yolda. Right, if she gave a mila and then she gave birth, that's a case where someone born in your house is going to have a mila on the eighth day. Again, it all depends on whether the mother was a shifra kananis or not, or whether she had the mikvah, went to the mikvah or not. If she went to the mikvah, then she was a shifra kananis, so the baby was born is an evident kanani straight up, and then he gets a mila on the eighth day. If she's tovel after the baby is born, so then the baby can be circumcised right away. And the Tanakama has no difference between whether she gave birth or and went to the mikvah, or went to the mikvah and then gave birth. Because even though their mother is not tamei because she wasn't didn't give birth with before she went to the mikvah, she did give birth before she went to the mikvah, so therefore he still gets the mila on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, one second. Bishlam alar bichama mishkachas la yilod bayis nimol le'echad yilid bayis nimol lechaz l'shmoneh. According to Rabbi Chama, you can have a case where someone who is born in the house gets a mila on either the first day or the eighth day. Miknas kesef nimol liyud la'alef and miknas kesef nimol lechaz. You can also have a case where someone who is bought and gets a mila on the first day or the eighth day. Yolda v'achakach hitzbila, if she gave birth and then went to the mikvah, zeo yulid bayis shenim ole'echad, hitzbila v'achakach yolda, zeo yulid bayis shenim ole'ches, right? Depending on when she went to the mikvah, that's going to determine when the baby's mila is. If the baby was born in Eved Kenani because she went to the mikvah first, then he gets it on the eighth day. If she gave birth and then went to the mikvah, so then he gets it on the first day. Miknas kesef nimol le'shmona, same thing. If someone was bought, gets a bris on the eighth day, kigon shelokach shivcha mu'beres, v'hitzbila, right, he bought a shivcha mu'beres, who was already pregnant, he took it to the mikvah, v'achakach yolda, then she gave birth. So therefore the baby's going to have a bila on the eighth day. Miknas kesef nimol le'echad, you can have a case where the miknas kesef, the shivcha kananis that was bought, so you're going to have her kid, is going to have a meal on the first day, kigon shelokach zeh shivcha v'zeh ubra. One guy took the shivcha, one guy took the fetus. So there you're going to be tovel, right? And then your baby's going to be get a mila right after the tevila. El Tanakama, but according to Tanakama, Pishlama Kulu Mishkakos Lehu, right? I get all the cases, but you missed one. You lead bias nimol echad heichi mishkachas la, right? We didn't even quote it in the Mishnah. How? Where do you have a case where a yilid bias gets a mila on the first day, where it's born in the owner's house, but it gets a mila on the first day? Rabbi Yirmiyah belokeach shivcha leubra, because the case is where you buy a shivcha for her fetus. You're not buying the shivcha, but you're buying the baby to be an eved kanani after she gives birth to it. So Gemara says, one second, that only works according to one man d'amar. There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Bava Basra, I think. It quotes Bava Kama here. Oh yeah, Bava Basra. Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was in Bava Basra towards the end. Okay, I'm the same. Either way, the machlokas is like this. Now, let's say one person owns a field, another person owns the fruit produced by that field. Okay, so who is the owner? Who is the owner? Let's say there are halachas that are shaykh to the owner of a field, shmita, etc., whatever it is. Who is considered the owner? The guy who owns the field, or the guy who owns what the field produces? So according to one man d'amar, but according to the one man d'amar says that the owner, the guy who owns the field, is the owner. Another man d'amar says the guy who owns the produce is the owner. So the Gemara says like this: if you own a shivcha, a woman, you don't own the woman, you own the woman's fetus, which is like her produce, almost, right? What she produces. So, according to the one who says that if you own the produce, it's not like owning the actual item, so that works out. Why does that work out? Because you don't actually own the item, right? So therefore, right, you can you don't actually own, even though you don't actually own the mother. So, Lamaisa, you're not going to be tovel it on the first day, because you don't own it. How does that work? How does that logic work? One second. What's the logic there? I think that's the logic. The man that right is El the man d'amar kinyan peres kinyan guf dami, but according to the man d'amar who says that if you own the produce, you own the item, so ma'ikala meymar, what could you say? If you own the produce and it's considered as if you own the shivcha kananis, so then anything that is born from a shivcha kananis has to be born on the eighth day. If you don't own the shivcha kananis, so then you can, and you own the child, so then it's like you're toveling it, right? It's as if it's newly born into your house, and you can give it a mila on the first day. But if you, that's the logic. Again, if you own, sorry, I'm just working it out for myself, and then we'll stop. This is like the end where I wanted to hold off. If you own the slave, again, sorry. If you own the field because you own the fruit, meaning owning the produce means you own the field, so then if you own the baby, that means you own the shivcha, and it's as if the shivcha is yours, and therefore anything that gets born from the shivcha is going to get a mila on the eighth day. So where are you getting a case of yilid bias that it gets a mila on the first day? That's the kasha. Okay, so Amram Mashashia, he says, "Belokech shivcha almas shalolad bila." The case is where you bought the shivcha kananis on condition that you're not going to make her into a shivcha kananis. You're not going to be tovel her. And then she gave birth. Right? Since she's not going to be shayach to any Torah mitzvos, every kananis status bechlal, so that's not shayach for. That she's not shaykh to any of the halachos of the Torah, and therefore you don't have to wait for the eighth day, right? As Rashi says, the Rashi three lines up, the lo shaykh about Torah's chiyuva the mitzvos klal, and she's not going to be shaykh to mitzvos whatsoever. The lav dunya de lechem hu aval letumus leida lochashinan biyalda vachakachid bila. All right, so Lamaisa, we're not concerned with it. It's not considered lachem. It's not considered yours. She's not in your possession, and therefore you are you can give the baby a milah on the first day. Okay, tzarich a little needs a little chazara, definitely on my part. But mitzvah Hashem, we'll go weiter in the Hilgishas tomorrow. Maybe if I learn this a couple times over, so then I will try to say it over a little bit better at the beginning of tomorrow's shiur. Okay, shkolach kol the rabbosei. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.